This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is Sat Mag, and our first guest is Bridget Valance, Victorian Shadow Minister for Equality, Youth Affairs, Environment, Climate Action, and the member for Evelyn. Bridget, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Great to be with you.
We are so sad that you couldn't make it into the studio as planned today.
Yes, I 100% agree. I was very keen to come in and meet you all in person, but the lockdown has put an end to that.
And look, it has, and I'm just going to share, it's Macca, Bridget, and I'm just going to share a message with you on some, when I was talking about, you know, resourcing the phone lines, etc. You might have heard that message from a listener says, Macca, your friend Neil Mitchell and his callers weren't as nice. The feedback was very different over there. Now, I have to apologise because last week, or earlier this week.
Last week
when I was speaking with Neil online, actually about Pride March and Victoria Police, and he asked me, he said, oh, look, you can give a free plug to the show, who's on the show? And I mistakenly was reading the wrong run sheet, and I said that you were going to be on the show, and I think it might have thrown your staff into a bit of a frenzy, because you thought...
I was excited. I thought I might have got a call up early.
So, my apologies for that. But
That's okay. We thought, oh goodness, have we got the dates wrong in the calendar? But it's all fine. We're here now. So, and I'm very, very happy to be here.
Yeah. So, look, first off, congratulations on joining the Shadow Cabinet. I know, look, there's a lot of work involved in being a Shadow Minister and getting across the issues. And, you know, as well as being a member, you know, like a local member, there's a lot of work involved in that. And I think sometimes people don't understand just the amount of work and time that local members actually spend attending to their electorate. Do you want to give us a bit of a handle on that first, Bridget, before we get into some of the meatier issues?
Yeah, sure. As the member for Evelyn, so for those listeners who don't know, Evelyn's out in the Yarra Valley, so takes in the outer suburbs of Lilydale, Moorabbin, and heads out into the Yarra Valley. So a beautiful part of the world. And if you like your wines and cherries and strawberries, then the electorate of Evelyn is the place to be. And being a local representative, it's a huge privilege to be able to represent my local community. I'm a wife and a mum of two beautiful boys, and I raise them here in the Yarra Valley. And it's a fabulous place to be, and a really strong community spirit here. But my priority really is locally is to get the best possible outcomes here, whether it's particularly improving our roads. Often we get missed out in terms of funding for roads here in the Yarra Valley, the Maroondah Highway, Warburton Highway. Many of your listeners probably have travelled on those highways, hopefully to come to some of our wineries. And those roads need fixing. And of course, health services and local education, educational outcomes for our students out here. So times. So of course, that's my focus from a local perspective. And with the COVID pandemic, it's been extremely busy because many locals have lost work, have needed assistance. They might be running small business operators and have needed assistance to navigate. You know, sometimes it's been the first time that they've ever needed to access welfare or financial assistance from the government. So it's been a very, very busy and challenging time as an MP, but really more so for the people in my community. And as well, a privilege to be on the Shadow Cabinet. And I've been on the Shadow Cabinet for over a year now, first being appointed with the portfolios of environment, climate change and youth, and really pleased to just very recently be appointed also to the equality portfolio. And as a first-time MP, I was just elected in 2018, so as a first-time MP, it's a lot to learn, a very steep learning curve, but wonderful, you know, I mean, it's a great opportunity and to be able to contribute.
Bridget, how do you go about, I mean, choosing the equality portfolio? Why was that a choice that you made, or do you get a choice? Like, how does that process happen?
Well, no, our leader, Michael O'Brien, he's the one who makes the appointments when it comes to portfolios. So, of course, in government and in parliaments, there's a lot of aspects of our community that we need to represent. And so he looks at his team and appoints the portfolios. And so it was got the phone call from Michael to add the portfolio of equality, which was great.
It's Mark. Bridget, got a question. When you're preparing for a role in the shadow, what we see in shadow cabinet, shadow members, is in modern political discourse a whole lot of whatever gets announced, you have an antithetical view. You just have a contra view. How do you come up with better policies, and how do you announce that, and how do you lead with the community on better policy than the sitting government?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, look,
I've never seen it before, not in the last 5-10 years, not just state, but federally.
I missed that, sorry.
Well, we don't see it very often. It's usually just an anti-comment that comes out very quickly. So how do you do that? How do you structure and have better policy and communicate that instead of the governor of the day?
Yeah, it's a balance that you need to strike. I mean, I think in an opposition, it's a natural situation for oppositions to expose flaws in the government, in the policies of the government of the day. That's something because, you know, but it's not the case all of the time. I think, you know, that's what makes the news. What makes the news is where governments and oppositions have a difference of opinion. But actually, there's lots of good
but
work.
But you put
done.
Out to the news, so you're guiding that. So how do you do this?
Right. So, look, it is a contest of ideas, and we always need to look at if the government's putting out something that's positive, for example, in the equality space, that they've announced, you know, some additional funding for mental health services, which will help people, you know, the LGBTQI+ community. That's a good thing. But of course, if we see there's flaws, we need to expose those and highlight them. For example, just looking at the budget, the state government's budget that was handed down just last week, there's about a 25% cut in the funding to the LGBTQI+ and equality portfolio outputs. So that's a concern, and that's something that we need to highlight, and we need to find out why the government's cutting that budget and highlight that. But in terms of...
So we've got to pick you up on that, Macca.
Well, no, I'm... If I can just ask you, Bridget, on that, you know, that you're saying there's a 25% cut. Where's that cut been made? What programs have actually been cut?
Well, that's a very good question, and a question that I hope to be able to put to the government soon.
So you have no documentation.
So you don't. Yeah, well, you don't know where it's actually been cut. You just, it's a...
No, it's a dollar value. So look, the dollar value. So in terms of the dollars in the budget, it's a clear cut. So they've actually got that as a variation listed in their budget documents, in their budget papers. And so that's the question that we need to ask. We need to say, well, what programs are being cut? And is that actually going to, you know, is that the right thing to do?
Because this sounds more like a statement than a question.
What's that, sorry?
You sound like you're making a statement posed as a question, though.
Well, I think your question was, what are the programs that are being cut?
Yeah.
And the reality is that we don't know
what
those programs
are.
We don't know what they are.
So you're just guessing.
I'm taking on board what you've said. I don't actually know that it's the case, and I think there might be...
She doesn't know.
I think there might be For example, there was a lot of some funding for the Victorian Pride Centre in the last budget, which obviously there isn't for this budget, you know, and that was quite a sizable amount. But I wanted to move, Bridget, to, you know, engaging with, you know, with our communities, and what mechanisms, you know, have you established or are you going to use, you know, to hear our, you know, our community's concerns, you know, our interests and priorities, because as a community, we, you know, we feel, and we have felt for a long time, that some levels of government really don't, they pay us lip service, they don't engage at the level that we'd like. So I'm wondering, you know, as the Shadow for Equality, Shadow Minister for Equality, how are you going to, you know, engage with our community, obviously apart from speaking to us, but, you know, around the issues that are important to us?
Well, it was great to be able to attend Midsummer, and of course that just happened just before lockdown, and yes, that was a really good opportunity for me to get out and support everyone at that march and engage with the community. I've met a number of people on that day. I've already started meeting with a number of stakeholders. So I think you're about to have Naveena from the Victorian Pride Lobby come on your show a little later today. And we've met together in Parliament. And so I think that's the definitely something that I will be keen to do. I've done it and continue to do. I don't think you meet with stakeholders once. My objective is to meet with both stakeholder groups and also people in the community and have an open door and to hear the issues that impact you, what matters to you, and see how we can best respond to those through policy development. You know, if it's any, for example, when I met with the Pride Lobby, we were discussing around the events industry and that many of the LGBTQ plus events that were upcoming, and of course, with this current lockdown, there's a little bit more uncertainty added to that. But prior to that, in terms of the events, for example, in Daleford and other, particularly in regional areas, LGBTQ plus events, were very concerned about being able to run and having that confidence to be able to run and how they could do that, be able to do that. And we were discussing that around support for event sector more broadly, but also...
Richard, we've just got to go to a break. Hold that thought,
yeah,
and
sorry.
We'll come back to you in just a
we
few
We will
moments.
Be back.
What's your view? Let us know by sending us a text, 0427-JOY949, or on Twitter at SatMagJoy949.
You are on Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on JOY94.9.
Just in case you forgot, you are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Fiona and Mark and Bridget Valance, the Shadow Minister for Equality. Look, I don't want to harp on it, Bridget. I'm not sure that perhaps you're reading the budget correctly, because a lot of equality funding comes out of other portfolios. It doesn't just come out of equality. My understanding is it was a record amount, but let's revisit that. You know, the next time you're on, you can tell us where you think the cuts have been made, because I think it's an important issue that, you know, you've made a statement. I'm not the Treasurer and I'm not the Minister for Equality, so I don't know. But
yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly, I think we're on the same page as to where, what programs might have been cut. And if there haven't been any, then that's for the government to say so.
Yeah. You should be prepared before you make a statement on queer radio. That's something that you should be doing, don't you think, if you're representing us in the Shadow?
So in the budget, it actually specifies a 25% reduction in LGBTIQ plus equality and programs. The dollars.
Well, we'll check on that. We'll check on that, because it seems spurious and it doesn't seem...
We'll check on this.
They're listed there in the budget, so and so that's what I'm looking at. Now, if that's been redirected to other parts of the budget, then and the government can explain that, then that will be great.
Which
and
you I think should know as the Shadow, right?
Yeah, but we'll deal with it,
and it's in black and white in the numbers in the budget, and so that's something that I hope to be able to ask when we resume.
We'll get back to us on that, okay? When you know what you're dealing with there.
Look, I wanted to ask Bridget, you know, as a state Liberal, and I'm sure you know lots of federal Liberals, can I tell you how many dollars of support there has been from the federal government for the Victorian Pride Centre? It starts with a Z and it ends in O, zero. Zero. And also, in terms of support for the Safe Schools program and a lot of the different trans campaigns that are running, we haven't seen any support from the federal government. Are you going to, you know, can you speak to your federal colleagues and say, hey, Victoria, what about you actually provide some support to the LGBTQI plus community? Because there actually hasn't been any. There's a lot of talk,
yeah,
but talk's cheap. There's been absolutely no money.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of my role as well. I mean, look, obviously being a state MP, you know, the focus is what state parliament and state governments can do. But part of my role will also be to advocate to my federal colleagues in government. And I know that Katie Allen, MP, and I think she's been on the show a couple of times, and that she's definitely supportive, and together we're able to be able to raise those issues and challenge the federal Morrison government also to contribute. I think in these situations, it's where there's need, and where and I 100% agree with you. You know, to say something, if you're going to say something, you need to be able to back that up. But with the Victorian Pride Centre, I know that there's been funding on that, and I'm keen to find out when the Pride Centre will actually be open.
Oh, look, in the next couple of weeks. But the federal government, and sorry to come back to this, there has not been $1 for the Victorian Pride Centre, not $1. And I find that quite disturbing, you know, that we haven't seen any support there. So I encourage you, you know, to speak to your federal colleagues. I've got a question here from a listener, Bridget. What is Bridget's position on the Victorian Safe Schools program?
Well, in terms of the program, really what we're about is having a program that caters for all kids who are experiencing any kind of bullying. And that's what we think is definitely important for our young people, is that there is access to any assistance for, you know, from right across the board.
So do you have a draft program?
All about support and respect.
Sorry, do you have a draft program that does this? What have you got to show us that says that you've done the work?
Well, I've been in the portfolio for a very short period of time. So
well, you've said there's other Liberals. What have you done?
Yeah. So as I said, I'm in the portfolio for a very short period of time. So I'm getting across all of our issues and seeing where we can present positive policies going forward. But certainly when it comes to in our education system, we think that it's all about respect and support, and that all children who might be experiencing any anxiety or bullying should be able to access support and be listened to and helped. And I think one of the concerns that we've had, particularly through the COVID period last year, that we've seen an alarming increase in young people and children needing additional support, having mental health issues and issues in the home, that when they would otherwise be at school and their educators would be able to identify those issues and assist them. So we think that there should be a broad-reaching anti-bullying programs, and that's what we're committed to.
Because I think, you know, Bridget, and you know, I know this is, look, it's never easy in opposition. I understand that. You know, the Safe Schools program, there's been a lot of opposition from the opposition on this program, but there hasn't been, as far as I know, all that many rigorous policy proposals or suggestions as to what to replace it with. And it was the same with the Conversion Practices Bill, right? We didn't know until a day before the upper house sat what the opposition's position was going to be on the Conversion Practices Bill. And this concerns me that, yes, I understand the job of opposition is to hold government to account and to, you know, to question policy, but it's also to put proposals up. And I watched the debate in the upper house, and I have to be honest, the amendments put by the Shadow Attorney General, it was, if you wanted those proposals to hold water, it was a colander. It was full of holes. They were pathetic amendments. And what it was, it says, you know, that the policy is what's important, Bridget. And, you know, our community want to see the policy. So I say to you, yes, you've been in the role a short time, but it's really important to say, look, the government's doing this. We don't agree with it. This is what we would do. That's what our, you know, my community wants to hear. They want to hear what the alternative view is.
Yeah. And that's definitely my job, is to be listening to a lot of people and a lot of views. So, and that's what I'll, definitely what I'll be doing, what I've already kicked off doing and will keep doing, because I think that's what all voters are expecting to find from all political parties, is what their policies are and for them to stick to that. So, and in relation to this, I think but certainly what I want at the heart of everything that we put forward is to have listened to all stakeholders, listen to all community groups, use that to inform our decision. As politicians, and I think you said, Macca, you don't please everyone all of the time. As long as you try to strike the best possible balance and at the heart of it, see that respect and support for broadly for communities.
You don't even please everyone all the time when you're a radio presenter. Let me tell you, Bridget, for us, you know, and for the community that we represent, it's really important to us, and it's important to Joy. It's important to me as the Joy president that the opportunities that we give to community leaders and politicians to come on air and talk to our community, and, you know, you're probably aware, we have a standing invitation for the state opposition for two segments a month. And sometimes more. So we, you know, it's important to us, regardless of what my view might be, or Mark's, or Fiona's, or anyone else's, the community actually wants to hear your view, and that's why we give you this opportunity. So I think it's really important that those policy, you know, prescriptions are actually quite clear, because that's what people want to hear.
Well, Macca, you know that actually Bridget has a commitment to be on the show for the next 3 months.
Oh, fantastic.
So listeners will be able to tune in regularly and be able to chat with Bridget and hear more and ask questions.
Here in the studio.
And in fact, Bridget, next time you're on, it will be in the Pride Centre. So we'll have a great deal of opportunity to expand and talk more about all of these points that have been raised today. So it's wonderful, and then people will be able to get in and find out more.
Yep.
So in the last couple of minutes...
Your email address, the signature at the bottom must take half a screen. You've got a lot to do.
In the last couple of minutes, Bridget, I'd like to ask that, you know, you've got a couple of months, you know, into your role, but for you, what do you see as the top priorities in that equality portfolio? The other portfolios will cover at a future time. What do you see as the top priorities for you in the next, you know, in the next 6 months?
Well, as I said, the top priorities are getting making sure that I've met with all the T groups within your community to be inclusive and listen and synthesise all of the information that I'm hearing from right across the LGBTQ plus community, and what's going well, what isn't going so well and what the challenges are, and utilise that to help inform some of our policies. So that's really the you know, my object and challenge over the next couple of months. Also, we've got we're still sifting through the budget. We'll be able to understand, you know, whether there's any potential gaps as we yep. meet with community groups. But also, that it's just really around that is being as inclusive as possible and hearing what it is that you're, you know, what people across the LGBTQI plus community are after, what they'd like to see in terms of policy to go forward. And that's really what I'm interested in.
But that's also super important. You can never underestimate how important it is for us to hear what people are planning instead of being talked over and talked about, which is normally what happens to our community. So you've just hit the nail on the head, yeah, exactly what you said.
You've nailed it, Bridget.
That's right. I think because, and I think this, you know, right from back just being a local MP in the community, you know, I don't think that any of us as MPs are experts on anything. And I 100% agree. I think it's one of the, I think that's why a lot of people don't like politicians, right? They say, you know, where you've got a policy and you tell us the policy and you push it onto us. You know, and sometimes I guess we might always trip over on that. But really, what I'm about is listening and hearing all of the views and using that to inform the policy that we put forward. And I said we won't always please everyone all the time, but certainly my aspiration is to be able to do that. But over and above that, it's more broad also, is inserting into the policy discussion across the board that all aspects of our community are considered. So, for example, when some of my colleagues in other portfolio areas are developing policy, it could be, you know, in sports, it could be in tourism.
Yeah, could cross over, yes.
In business, in taxation, anything else, that I also bring to the table the views that I've heard when I've been out listening to you know, stakeholders and members of the community to inform our discussion and, you know, use that as a springboard to take us forward. And I think that that's something that I certainly want to do with the Liberal Party, is to be able to make sure that we're as contemporary as possible and listening, and having other good, you know, whether also just generally, you know, policies that support individuals, business people, who are also from the LGBTQ plus community, that the policies we bring forward will help. You know, we've come through a very challenging period. We're still not through the woods yet on COVID, and that everything we're doing is helping Victorians to, you know, to look after each other, care for each other, support local business, small business, and move forward as we come through this very challenging health and economic time.
Yeah. Bridget, we're actually out of time, and I, you know, I welcome what you've said there. That engagement is really important. At the end of the day, we're not interested in the politics of it. We're interested in the policy. And the policy is what will deliver for our community the results we want. And you never know, it might even deliver you the results you want, which is to sit on the other side of the house.
Thanks. Well, thanks for having me on the show, and
we look forward to Pride Centre. We look forward to seeing you in person at the Pride Centre, where you'll be among a very select group of your colleagues that actually have a Saturday Magazine short black cup and saucer.
Oh wow! Yes, no, I think it's a very exciting for you all to be able to get into the Victorian Pride Centre. It's certainly something that we've supported, and I look very much
thank you.
Getting through this lockdown and being able to see you in person in the studio.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Bridget.
Thank you. Fiona, we've got a lot of...
we've had a lot of feedback about the interview with Bridget.
I've actually never seen so many emails. Look, it's... It does,
and thank you, everyone.
Thank you. It does follow a particular...
tone.
Direction. And yes, I'm glad it's not about me.
But so thank you, everyone, for tuning in and giving us your feedback. We're going to be obviously having Bridget back, so that'll be another opportunity.
And you know, but it's difficult being in opposition, right?
Without a doubt.
But the point I make, don't make the mistake when you're a politician that for us it's about politics. Mm. It is about the policy, right? I don't care which party you're from. I don't care which faction you're from. For me, it's about the policy. And bad policy and neglectful policy and discriminatory policy, I won't tolerate. I don't care whose it is.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.